Today's shiur is Masechta Baba Basra Daf Nun Hey. We will begin on Daf Nun Hey Amud Aleph, the last narrow line, the end of the last narrow line. Amar Rava Hanitlas Mili, these following three halachas, Ishtoili Ukfer by Nechemya Resh Galusa. Ukfer, the son of Nechemya, who was the Resh Galusa, taught me these halachas Mishmei the Shmuel. In the name of the Shmuel. First halacha, which we discussed quite extensively at the end of our previous year, is the Dina de Malchus Dina. We have to follow the law of the land. The next halacha is a Risusoi de Prasoi, reflects that if somebody has a chazaka in Persia, Arabam Shnin, that if somebody was on a property for 40 years and nobody said anything to him, that is a right that he has a chazaka. And the halacha is that you could become the owner of a property, even if it was not from a Jew, even from an Akum, in 40 years. Moreover, the halacha is that even though we learned in previous shurim that if a Nachri was on property for 3 years, he doesn't have a chazaka. Therefore, we learned on Daf Lamed Hey that even if a Nachri was on a property for 3 years, and then and then he sold it to a Jew, the fact that the Jew bought it from him after the Nachri was on the property for 3 years will not give him a chazaka. Here, if he was on the property for 40 years, if the Nachri was on the property for 40 years, and then the Yisrael bought it from the Nachri, he will be able to have a chazaka. That's the Pasha Pshat and the Gemara. The Rishonim have many different approaches to understand this Gemara. Some explain the Gemara that this din, this halacha that we say a chazaka is achieved in 40 years, is as we explain by an Akum. An Akum, even though normally Hilchas Chazaka don't apply by Akum, an Akum in Pras, who's on the property for 40 years, has a chazaka, even if he's a Nachri. The other Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yoina, takes a very different approach. Rabbeinu Yoina's approach is that the halacha of chazaka, which we're learning our entire perek, is 3 years. There's a new halacha which speaks to the Akum, that Akum have chazaka for 40 years, but Yisrael will still have chazaka after 3 years. Of course, Rabbeinu Yoina points out that if Yisrael is going to have a dispute with somebody who claims that this property belongs to them, and then they're going to end up going to non-Jewish court, the Yisrael will not be able to use the three-year argument, because in non-Jewish court, the four-year rule applied. But the question that many Rishonim ask is, if the Gemara wants to teach us the halacha, however we explain it, that a chazaka is 40 years, why does the Gemara use the word arisa? Arisa means, as we know, 40 years. So oris means a sharecropper. What does that have to do with the halacha that we're discussing now, that a chazaka, 3 years, 40 years? So one pshat that I saw is what the Gemara means to say is that even if I myself wasn't on the property, but my oris was on the property, but he was, and my oris, who I appointed, is on this property for 40 years, that will be a good enough method for me to have a chazok on this property. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that the Gemara's focus here is on how does somebody become a, how long is the term of an oris? If somebody hired an oris, for how many years do I have to keep him? What is the, if we didn't write a contract, what is the amount of years he's going to be my oris? And the Gemara is teaching us that an oris gets a 40-year term unless they discuss differently. And the next halacha is Vahani Zeruri, that the wealthy people, we reflected on this halacha in the previous year as well. If people don't pay the taxes and then somebody else picks up the tax bill. So Hani's Riri, the Zoban Ara Lataska, that they purchased property because they paid the tax that's outstanding on that property. Zvini Zvini, the law is that their purchase of this property is considered makes it their property. However, says the Gemara, when was that halacha said? The taska, if the property was, there were two types of taxes. There was property tax and there was a head tax. So says the Gemara, when is the halacha that if the tax wasn't paid and I pay the tax, the halacha is that I become the owner of the property? That's if I pay the outstanding property tax. Aval lekarga, if what's outstanding is the head tax, loy, then it doesn't become mine. My tama, ask the Gemara, why is there a difference between the two different types of tax? Says the Gemara, karga karfi de gavri monach. The head tax is connected to the individual. Every individual has to pay the head tax, but the responsibility of paying the head tax is not on the property. And since the responsibility of paying the head tax is not on the property, that's why the halacha is that it's not considered. That's why if I paid it, it doesn't become mine. So the question that the Rishonim debate is: we just learned a number of halachas that Tras Mili, the Gemara began, three halachas that were taught. What are the three halachas? Someone suggested three halachas: Adina and Machus Adina, the halacha of the 40 years, and the halacha that we just learned about the person who pays the taxes. However, the Rashba and the Ritva say that the halacha of Dina de Machus Adina is not a separate halacha. We know the Dina de Machus Adina. And therefore, they explained that the three halacha was about the 40 years, that the halacha that if I pay the property tax, then the property becomes mine. And the third halacha is that if I only paid the head tax, then it doesn't become mine. Says the Gemara, if Hunabre de Vishu Amar, Afila Sar de Kada. Everybody, everything is mortgaged. Lakarga is mortgaged to pay off the head tax. And if somebody doesn't pay that tax, the government will impound what he takes. And therefore, the halacha says Rav Huna, is that yes, even for karga, if I pay off the head tax, the property becomes mine. So the Ramban and Rashba asks, how can we have a machloikis here in the Gemara, a machloikis amaroim, what is the law? Why don't we just check with whoever knows the law? What is the law? How can we have a machloikis? So they explain that this law, that everything is mortgaged to the head tax, is not really a written law, but rather that was the way the government officials would work. They would take whatever was available to get the tax paid. And the machloikis was how do we determine dina de machus adina? Do we determine the dina de machus adina based on what happens? And if we look at what happens, so what happens is that this kind of tax is not typically, this is usually mortgaged. Or do we look at what it says on the law book, and in the law book it doesn't say that way. The Meshech Chochma says that the Pasuk tells us that the wife of Avadya did not have the ability to pay off the taxes that she owed Yehoram ben Achav. And Elisha said, Ma esalach, what can I do for you? Hagidli ma yesh lecha b'bayis. And the Meshech Chochma says, why did Elisha use the word ma yesh lecha b'bayis? What do you have in the house? So he said that what he was trying to say is that given that our Gemara just said that everything is mortgaged to the taxes, so he wanted to know, do you even have an empty keli? Do you even have an empty vessel? Because everything is mortgaged, and therefore, perhaps if you have an empty vessel, we could use that to to pay off the tax. The Chesukei Chemed has an interesting question. Here we're speaking about the obligation to pay taxes. So he discusses a situation if somebody took upon himself to support somebody, to support one of his children. So support, of course, means that he has to pay for their food, he has to pay for the rent. The question is, what does the person who took this obligation have to pay taxes that they're obligated to pay? So he says that certainly he has to pay those taxes. And the reason he explains why one would have that obligation is because many of the things that everybody would have to do in their homes, they would be obligated to do, but instead of each one of us doing it ourselves, we have the government. And for example, we would have to all dispose of the garbage. So instead of every one of us disposing of the garbage, the government has a sanitation department that takes care of the garbage. So therefore, he suggests that taxes are no different, and the taxes are taking care of things that we would need to take care of. And since the taxes are taking care of things that we would need to take care of, so, of course, the obligation to support includes that as well. I was thinking that based on our Gemara just taught us that everything is mortgaged to taxes. So if everything is mortgaged to taxes, obviously included to that so every person has an obligation to pay taxes. So if I agree to take over somebody's obligation, taxes would be obviously included. Amar Rav Ashi, Amar Li Han Ben Nasi, Kosher Be Amemer. So Amemer now asked the question, Im Kain, if we're learning now that everything is mortgaged to taxes, Bital Te Yerusha B'nai B'char. So the halach is, as we know, as we're going to learn in our Masechta, that a Bechor gets Pishnayim, and gets a double portion in the Yerusha. However, the halacha is that he only gets Pishnayim in what's Muchzik, only what he has, what the father had at the time of his passing. Anything that's Roy, anything that's really not something that he's holding on to, he doesn't get Pishnayim. So now the question is, since all of the father's assets, as we're learning now in the Gemara, are mortgaged to pay the tax, so it's as if that they're not really his. Until he finishes satisfying his tax bill, everything he has a mortgage on it. And the halacha, as we just said, is ain't a bechor noitel b'roi k'b'muchzik. Something that the father is not holding on to, the halacha is that it's not considered he shouldn't get Pishnayim. And as I saw the Rashbam points out, that if anything, the mortgage that one has to pay taxes is such a strong obligation that it supersedes all other obligations. And since it supersedes all other obligations, we can't consider that anything that the father has as an asset should really be considered an asset that he has if there's a strong mortgage on it to pay the taxes. Amalei, so he says, Ihachi, so ask Gemara, if you're going to take that approach, afil taskanami. We're having a discussion about the mortgage on a head tax. Is there a mortgage on head tax? How do we understand the mortgage? But everybody agreed that on property tax, the government has a strong mortgage. So if that's the case, how do the Bechor get Pishnayim if there's this mortgage? Elamayis L'chamim, how do we answer this question? That the situation here is that when does the Bechor get Pishnayim? It's in a situation, the Yoav Tasko Misk, that the father, before he passed, paid off all of his taxes, and therefore there is no mortgage. So we'll say the same regarding the hat tax. We'll explain the Yoav Targa mix that he paid off all of his hat tax, so there's no mortgage. And if there's no mortgage, the halacha is that's why he could get the double portion. Rav Chaim Berlin uses our Gemara in the Shas Tshuvas Nishmas Chaim Simen Lamed to discuss a question that is a very commonly asked question. The Gemara we learned in Masechet Erin says that when we have a large city and we need everybody to participate in the Erev, so if all the Jews, so the Gemara discussed what happens if there are non-Jews living in the city. But his question was, what happens if there are Jews who are not religious living in the city? They all have to participate in the Erev. So if it's a religious Jew, the assumption is that I could be mezaka, I could give him ownership in the food that's going to be used in the Erev, even though I did it for him, zochel on mishle b'fonav. But the halacha is, we don't have that ability for people who don't believe in Erev. So he says, what's the easiest way to make an Erev? He says that you rent the entire city from the mayor, from the governor, whomever. The question is, they don't own the property. But says Rav Chaim Berlin Zatzal, from our Gemara we learn a din that since the state, the city, has such a strong control over what's going on in the city, proof being that everybody has is considered mortgage to them. So that's why that gives that governor, that mayor, such power, and that's how we can make an Erev by renting the entire city from him. Amar Vashi, Amali Huna Ben Nosson, Shaltin El Safri de Rava. I asked the Seiferim who used to write documents by Rava, Vermali Huchsukar, that even head tax, all of your assets are mortgage for head tax, says the Gemara Velohi. Actually, that is not the halacha. For Hossam, this that they said that way was Lekubay Milsa Huda Amr, because they just wanted to be able to get more business and have documents written. And that's why they said this, that they wanted to get the documents, that they need to write documents, and people have to prove that they paid the taxes, that they paid even the head tax, but it isn't necessarily the halacha that way. Continues the Gemara Amar Ravashi Paradachta. There's a person in the city who doesn't work, and he doesn't work, and the way I saw the Mefarshim explain, it's not just that he doesn't work, he doesn't learn either. Because as we've learned previously in Shiurim, if somebody is learning, a Talmud Chacham is exempt from paying taxes. Here we're speaking about a person who's not working and not learning either. So why is he called Padachta? Means Puryei Duchtei. The Meiri explains, his bed is where he really spends his life. He doesn't really have any purpose for getting out of bed. Another pshat that the Ram Rattenberg explains, Padachta stands for Porod Monus. That means the obligation of taxes is Porod, is sort of separated from him. So Padachta Masai Masa. This individual, who even though he doesn't earn any money, has to pay taxes, says the Gemara, has to participate in paying taxes, says the Gemara Vahani Mili. But when was that said? That Silta Masam. There were two ways how they claim the taxes. One way is that they made the entire community pay taxes. So since they made the entire community pay taxes, so somebody is not participating, he increases the load on everyone else. And that's not fair. And therefore, he has to pay. The way I saw most Rishonim suggest the Truma Sadeshus, Truma Sadeshin says, he doesn't have to pay the same as a person who's working. He has to pay half of what he would normally have to pay. Avol and Deski, if the way the government raises the taxes is that everybody has to pay a certain amount, and a person who's not working doesn't have to pay, so siyata d'shmayu, he had siyata d'shmayu that he's exempt from paying taxes, and you can't make him pay taxes. Amar Ravasi Rabbi Yochanan, hametzer, a road that separates fields, v'chatzav, and we'll talk about this more in our shiurim, it's a kind of a grass that grows straight down, its roots don't spread. Mafsikim b'nechsei ager, we've been discussing the next Eger, that the Ger is the only person who possibly could pass away without any relatives. And we've been learning that when he, if such an individual, indeed, Chas V'Shalom, passes away, the way you take ownership of his property is the first of making a Chazakah. And we've been discussing, what does it mean that you make a Chazakah? Is it what separates property? So Gemara says that all of these types of situations separate a property into two, by Nechse Eger. Avl, and the Gemara is going to explain the next halacha. Avl inyan pei v'tumah, when we speak about pei and tumah, the halacha is different. Their halacha is that by pei and tumah, they don't separate a field. Kasa Ravin, when Ravin came, Omar, he said, Omar Rabbi Yochanan reported when he came from Etzisrael to Bavel, that Rabbi Yochanan taught them that a field inyan pei v'tumah, it also separates. So ask about pei and mehi, what is meant when we learn the halacha that it doesn't separate? What is the halacha regarding peya? Because, says the Gemara, the halacha peya mahi, the halacha teaches us the Tanan, the Mishnah Masech, the peya, Perek Beis Mishnah Aleph, teaches us for Elu, Mafsikin, Lepeya. We know that from every field, we have to separate peya. And when is it considered two separate fields, like you have to leave two portions of peya? And when is it considered one field, that one is enough? So it says, the Mishnah of Elam of Sikhal Peya, the following things separate a field and the Peya. Hanachal, and there's a machloikus, what is the definition of Nachal? Some explain that just like the Torah, when it speaks about the parasha of Egla Rufa, speaks about a Nachal Eson, and the definition of a Nachal Eson is a place that's hard ground. So here too, the definition of Nachal Eson is hard ground. Other explain the definition of Nachal Eson is a canal of water. And then there's a machlokes, according to the opinion, that Nachal means a canal of water. Does it have to be flowing water, or even water that's standing still could also separate? Hanachal Vashlulis, it's a place where water, rainwater gathers. The Derech Harabim, a place that people pass by. And the Rashbam says that the definition of a Derech Harabim is a road that's 16 amma wide. And the Gemara says that separates it into two fields. The Derech HaYochid, a place where just a Yochid walks. And that, says the Rashbam, is an area of 4 ammas wide. And the question is, asked the Rishonim, if a road that's 4 amma wide could separate the field into two, which is a Derech HaYochid, so it's obvious that a Derech HaRabim, which as we just said is 16 amas wide, will separate the field. Says the Rashbam that the way to understand Mishnah is Loizu Afsu. And the Mishnah is teaching us that not only a road of 4 tefachim separates, but indeed a road of 16 amas, so there's no Chiddush. The Tosfos has a different explanation because it makes a difference what type of field. If we would think, if it only said Derech Yochid, it's only in a field that has trees in it. But in a field that has grain, maybe it's a different rule. So that's why we learn that all types of road are a Hefsig, makes no difference what type of field. Shvil HaRabim, a place where people walk, a narrow place. The Shvil HaYochid is a place that only one person walks. And the Rashbam explains that what's the difference between a Shvil HaRabim and a Derech HaRabim and a Shvil HaRabim. Derech is a place where you travel on by riding on an animal or riding on a wagon. A Shvil is a place where people walk. And therefore he explains Derech HaYochid is a place where an individual goes, but he rides on a horse, on a wagon. A Shvil HaYochid is a place where people walk in that area. The Rambam explains that Derech HaRabim is 16 amos wide. A Shvil HaRabim is not necessarily 16 amos wide. And similarly, says the Rambam, a Derech HaYochid is 4 amos wide. A Shvil HaYochid is even less than 4 amos wide. The Ravid doesn't agree that the differences with the Rambam, that the differences are based on the width. He says that a shvil is a place that people just walk in the field. And the other thing is outside of the field. So of course, ask the Rashbam, if we're learning now that if a shvil hayochid, which whatever pshat we use, is much less significant than a shvil harabim, so why did the Mishnah have to say both shvil hayochid and shvil harabim? So the Rashbam says, as he said previously, that indeed there is no chiddush here in speaking about a shvil harabim and shvil hayochid. But just like he said when we spoke about the Derech HaRabim and the Derech HaYochid, even though there was no Chiddush, the Mishnah mentioned both cases. Similarly, here too, the Mishnah is only going to mention one of the cases, even though it's not necessary. Taisa says that the reason we had to learn a Shvil HaRabim is Mavsik, and we couldn't learn it from a Shvil HaYochid, because if we had a Shvil HaYochid, we would think that what makes the Shvil HaYochid special is the Shvil HaYochid is there all the time, all year round. Whereas we would think that a Shvil HaRabim is not necessarily there all year round. So even though the Shvil HaRabim is used much more, or it's wider, whichever pshat we prefer, we would still think that it's not there all year round. And therefore, the Mishnah had to teach us that Shvil HaRabim and Shvil HaYochid are kavua that are there, a mafsik. And this is halacha, is Bein B'Maisachama. The halacha is whether it's in the summer when there is no grass growing on the field, or whether it's B'Maisik Shamim when there is grass growing. So our Mishnah is teaching us that these various types of roads, etc., are mafsik for Peya, and Rav Asi and Rav Oven are arguing, according to Rabbi Yochanan, if that's the case, what is the Machloikis? If that's what the Mishnah teaches us, the Machloikis is about a Meitzer and a Chatzav. Will they separate the field by Peya? Rav Asi's opinion is that they're not considered a separation as far as Hilchos Peya is concerned. They're so close, and these are not considered, these types of situations are not considered significant enough that they should separate. But Nichse Ager, they do make it into two separate fields. And I think the way the Rishonim explain it is because, as we've learned in our previous shiurim, when we speak about Nichse Ager, there's no seller and buyer. When there's a seller and buyer, it's much easier to accomplish a chazakah versus when there isn't a seller and buyer. And therefore, even the slightest separation will separate this into two fields. And Ravin holds that there's no way to separate in halacha, to differentiate in halacha, between Nichse Ager and Peya. So if we're learning that they're considered two separate fields as far as Nichse Ager are concerned, they're also going to be considered two separate fields as far as Peya is concerned. And the way I saw it, the Sefer Toyos Royim explains this machloikis. How do we understand this concept of chazaka? The concept of chazaka, when I do an act of chazaka, it's only on what I actually did the chazaka. And therefore, if I have two separate fields, on the property on which I did the chazaka, I take ownership. On the property which I did not do the chazaka, I cannot take ownership. That's the way. But for Peya, it has nothing to do with chazaka. And if it's not considered two separate fields, it's not considered a separate property, and one Peya is enough. The other man, Damer, says the issue being discussed in the Gemara, the focus is not on what does or doesn't accomplish a chazaka. Rather, they explain that the focus in our Gemara is a very different focus. And the focus in our Gemara is this one area or is it not one area? And that's all that the Gemara is concerned about. Is it or is it not considered one area? So we said the next thing we discussed was regarding a meitzah and a chatzav being a separation regarding tumah. Ask them, what does that mean? Mahi, the Tanan. The Mishnah Masechta Taras Perek Vav Mishnah says, Anichtas Lebeka, somebody walks into a large empty area of a large empty field, and he goes there in the Maisa Gishamim, where, as we just said, since things are growing there in the winter, people are not typically walking there. So it's a Rishus HaYochid. But again, the word Rishus HaYochid that we're using in this context is not to be confused with the word Rishus HaYochid that we use in other contexts. Rather, the definition here of Rishus HaYochid means a place where people don't frequent. And we learn often in Shas that we learn from a Saita. A Saita is a woman whose husband warned her, don't be alone with a man. Kinui, the husband warned her, don't be alone with that man. And then she had Stira. She did remain alone with that man. The halacha is that she becomes a Saita and she may not resume to have relations with her husband unless she drinks the mei saita. So we see from there, she's only a suffix. We don't know for certain that she did this, but the halacha is that she's considered tamei. From here we learn a halacha, that suffix tamei b'rishus hayachid, somebody has a suffix tamei b'rishus hayachid is tamei. So the issue, and that becomes a rule for all of Shas. And now the discussion is, this field, is it a considered b'rishus hayachid or b'rishus harabim? So the halacha is b'maisa gishamim, if the winter time where people, as we've been saying, don't walk there, for tuma b'sada plainus, and that we know that one of the fields in that area certainly has a kever there. Omer halachti l'makam zu. I went I walked in this area. Veni mideya, but I'm not certain im nechnasti l'isa makam. Did I walk into the field that has a kever? Vimlav, or did I not? And the Gemara explains the basis for their opinions. Shai Rabbi Lez Oimer, Sofik Bia Tama, that this situation is a sfek sfeika. First of all, we don't know into which field he walked. Did he walk into the field that has the Tama, or did he not walk into that field? And even if he walked into the field that has the kever, maybe he didn't come in contact with that tamai. And the halacha is, throughout halacha, that a sfek sfeika is tahar. But safek maga, if the situation was only if he touched the tumah, that means we know for certain, this is the way the Rashbam learns the Gemara, and that's the way we're going to learn, that he certainly walked into the place with his tamai. The only question is, that did he touch the tumah? So here we don't have a sfek sfeika. Here we don't have a double suffix. And therefore, even Rabbi Lezer will hold that it's tamei. And the Rabbanon, however, disagree with Rabbi Lezer. And their opinion is that even when we have many sfeikas, the halacha is we have to be machmer. So he says, why? Because what do we learn from Hilchas Saita that we mentioned a moment ago? So what we learn from Hilchas Saita is that there's a din, that Safek Tumah B'Rishus HaYochid is Tameh. And when the Halacha teaches us Safek Tumah B'Rishus HaYochid is Tameh, the Halacha doesn't differentiate about how many Sfeikas there were. The Halacha is Safek Tumah B'Rishus HaYochid is Tameh. And that's why the Rabbanah hold it's Tameh. Rabbi Lezer says, no, by a Saita there's only one Safek. So that's why we say Safek Tamei is Tamei. When there's more than one Safek, then it's not something that we learn from Saita. So says the Gemara, according to the opinion of Rav Elezer, we could understand the Machloikis of Rav Asi and Ravin. According to Rav Asi, the Meitzer and Chatzav don't separate the fields. If they don't separate the fields, there's only one field here. And therefore, if there's only one field, there's only one suffix. And therefore, it's going to be like a suffix maga. According to Ravin, a Meitzer and a Chatzav can't serve as a separation amongst the fields and the Bikah. And therefore, it's going to be a situation of suffix bia, which Rabbi Lezer, as we just described, holds as a sfek sfeika. The Gemara continues, but Avil Shabbos, What about, is it going to be considered a hefsik regarding Hilchos Shabbos? Loi. Rav Amar filo hinyan Shabbos. We know that one, of course, may not carry on Shabbos. And when we speak about carrying on Shabbos, a very big part of Masechta Shabbos is identifying what are the shiurim for carrying on Shabbos. And the Gemara says that carrying on Shabbos, you have to carry the size of a groigris, a dried fig. Otherwise, it's not considered that you carried. There's a big machloikus rishonim. Why is there a shear of a groigris? What is the basis of the shear of a groigris? Is it because of a davar choshev? The Torah says that to be considered that you carried on Shabbos, you had to do a meleches machsheves. And less than a groigris is not considered a davar choshev. That's one approach. The other approach is that it's a groigris. It's a, all shiurim and halacha are halacha l'moshe m'sinai, a kazayas, etc. And here too, the shear of a groigris is a halacha l'moshe m'sinai. And the halacha is that this question of carrying less than a groigris has a lot of ramification on Hilchos Shabbos. The halacha, for example, is, of course, that we're not allowed to pour, for example, something from a kli rishon onto something that needs to get cooked, because even if it's not going to have the ability to cook that entirely, even if it's not going to have the ability to cook it entirely, it's going to cook it somewhat. And the halacha is, chatzi shir is also min ha-Torah. To the degree, there's a very big discussion, if somebody's pouring hot water into a glass that they just watched, and there's still droplets of water in that glass, are you allowed to pour hot water into that glass? Certainly, you don't have enough water. Those few droplets that you have there are not enough to make you be concerned that you did a shir bishul. But if the halacha is chatzi shir osam min ha-Torah, the halacha might be that you're not allowed to cook even those droplets of water. Here we're learning about somebody carrying a chatzi shir. And we're learning that carrying less than a shear is not osur. Chatzi shear is not osur. The halacha is, we learn, hoitzi chatzi groigris l'shus rabim v'nicha, and you didn't do a malacha. But why don't we say chatzi shearim osur min ha-Torah? If you only carry out less than the shear, you should be chayiv anyway. So the Rishonim, the Paiskim say that when we speak about a chatzi shir on Shabbos, so we're learning that a chatzi shir is not considered a malacha. And therefore, it's not considered that you didn't do the shir, but rather, according to the Rashbam, as we quoted him a moment ago, the carrying less than the shir is not at all a malacha. Similarly, cooking less is not the tzuras ha-malacha, and if that's the case, you would not be chayiv for carrying something like this on Shabbos. But the Braisa speaks about a case of carrying chatzi groigris l'shus rabim v'nicha, v'chaz v'hoitzi chatzi groigris l'cheres b'elam echad, and without realizing that you did this, you carried out another chatzi shir. And the question is, will you be chayiv or not? Says the Gemara, if you did it, you'll be chayiv, because we could combine these two acts. If you did a b'shnei alamos, not realizing in between, that you realized in between that you did something wrong. So as we said, each act is insignificant, and you're potter. Yaisi Omer, behelam echad b'shus echad chayiv. If you carried it, the two halves to one rishus rabim, you chayiv. Shtei rishuyus, if you took them to two different places, then the aloch is a yipotter. And now we have a machloikus rovin and rava, if what constitutes two separate places. If there's a mate or a chotzer separating the two places, is that going to be considered one area, and therefore you're going to be chayiv, or is it going to be considered one area? Is it one area and you're going to be chayiv, or is it going to be considered two areas? And since it's considered two areas, the two times that you carried will not be able to combine.